From the heart of Montana, this is Big Sky, Small World, Carroll College's student podcast.
Big Sky, Small World, I can never have Montana. It's a good to the big sky.
All aboard, choo-choo. Today we got quite a story to tell all you listeners of Big Sky, Small World. This is the train station workshop, where as a newly hired conductor, I will be guiding a nonstop run through the numerous topics my mind seems to think is so important to fixate on. Today, we got our third passenger. And before you say anything, yes, this train is reaching ever closer to maximum capacity. No one ever said this train was for the common man. In fact, this is a train reserved solely for those who are one above all, a luxurious commodity that only the few can reserve, or at least in the case for all my fellow guests, they use the tool of bribery to get on board. Now that John Cena is a heel in the WWE universe, all morality that I once had is gone. It's out the window. Following the steps of my idol, I will take bribes, I will listen to lies, and I will do so much propaganda for you, you will not believe it. If you're running for office in a small Iowa town, call me. I'm your guy. So, who will become the lucky individual to be allowed upon the train station at this third stop? Now, regardless if this guest is not here because they are pleading to be allowed in the train station, this guest did not bribe, he did not plead, he did not beg to be allowed into the train station. He is, in fact, had to be tracked down across the state of America. I know, there's 50 states, there's a lot of looking. And persuaded for 3 months straight upon the benefits that his knowledge would bring upon the masses. His time is more valuable than my Lego Halo collection. What little words that leave his mouth are layered beyond the human's mind capacity to comprehend in what little time we have as humans. When he speaks, mouths fall open in disbelief at the profound messages he spreads. Yet his mind comes second to the most important asset he has to offer, as he was the top 15 greatest javelin thrower nationally in 2024. Not only can he throw sticks far, but he can also throw heavy balls, use really long sticks to lunge over objects, and his laves can move fastly, a scientific phenomenon that is still confusing the most prestigious minds till this day. Before everyone faints because of how ultimately impressive these feats seem, and I'm not even getting underneath of the iceberg. This is surface ice right here. Remember, he is not a godly idol, but he is a man that strives above all. He is pushing that rock up that hill. Rock stars want to be him. Scholars want to be as smart as him. Antisocial people wish they could be as cool as an antisocial can be. His name is Ian Mortensen, and he strives to do many things in life. What you may ask are these things? Well, let's find out. Hello, Ian.
Well, hello, McLean. I'm feeling funky.
How are you doing today, my distinguished colleague? Was my introduction adequate enough?
I'd say it was more than adequate. You're hyping me up there, aren't you?
Well, you know, sometimes I got to get my guests feeling confident when they're in the same presence as me on a Zoom call. It's a lot.
Oh, yeah. Mac Daddy, we're live.
We're live, baby. Did I miss anything, perchance, or do you think I summed it up perfectly?
Oh, you summed it up. I live in Iowa. I had a glorious past, and now I'm here.
Well, you know what? That seems like you have a positive outlook on life, and I'm excited to share in that with you.
Oh, yeah. Very positive. I'm very enthusiastic for this podcast. Ready to get on into it.
It's good to hear your voice, and it's even better to spend this Saturday afternoon talking to one of my closest friends I've known since kindergarten.
Yeah, and I was only 6 minutes late.
Well, we're all late when it comes to you. We orbit around you like the sun orbits around Earth. We orbit around your time. And if anyone wants to fact check that, just know that you're wrong and that's fake. So I'm right.
I could get behind this idea. Iowa does have a certain gravity that attracts.
Let's address the controversy in the room. Someone is getting a car. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, that's correct. I am indeed purchasing a vehicle today. I'm supposed to be at the dealership, sort of, but I Ubered away to talk to you on this great Saturday. You know, it's just because you have a certain gravity, McLean. It was inevitable. I would get on this podcast. I couldn't escape. No matter which state I moved to.
You just feel the tug?
Yes. Well, you know, of course, Henry was on it and Alejandro was on it. So it was inevitable if those guys.
But it was all building up to you. I want you to know that personally.
Well, I'll make sure to let them know that.
So the viewers at home, they can't see us, but we are on Zoom call right now, and I'm looking at this man, and please describe your outfit that you went to the dealership with.
I knew I had to put together something that meant business, okay? But also sort of hinted at casual party. So I threw on my tuxedo shirt. It's kind of like a mullet, in a sense. Business up front, party in the back, you know? I just wanted them to take me seriously, but I didn't want them to like say, oh, this guy has too much money, right? We won't negotiate with him.
Kind of going for this look of being somewhat intimidating, but at the same time, you're downplaying your aura. So when they try to mess with you, you're already two steps ahead of them, and you've already played the game of chess, and they're playing checkers at this point. You're winning. You're getting the good deals. You're getting the extra commodities added. You're getting that air freshener for free. You're getting that lifetime warranty, right?
Well, let's say to grade myself, I would say I was a C+ negotiator today. I was looking at this car, right? I went to the Kia of Des Moines, right? And I went in the door because they had texted me. They're like, yeah, this car is available. I'm like, okay, I want to look at it, right? I'm like, yeah, where's the car? And they're like, oh, actually, that car's not here right now. So they just lied to my face. So I'm like, okay, you know, see that you texted me here. So then I left. I'm like, I'm going to Toyota now. Did not do any research. I was like looking up cars on my phone, pulled up to the Toyota. I'm like, oh, cool. They have a red Corolla that's kind of like in my price range. My price range is basically reliable, doesn't break. That's what I was looking for. So, and then as cheap as I could get it.
That's really high expectations, but knowing you, I know you would achieve it.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, we don't have the Corolla. We have a Honda Civic. So we go out to look at the Civic, but it's two door, it's a coupe. And he sees me like looking through, looking in it, looking in the trunk. I'm like, ah, I don't know. And he's like, I see you. You're looking here. Is enough space for you? I'm like, well, I'm just trying to see if I can fit my bike in, right? And she's like, hang on a sec. Come over here. He shows me this RAV4.
Oh, okay.
2014 RAV4. 80,000 miles on it, which is kind of a lot. But, you know, it's Toyota. So hopefully it doesn't break down like 5 minutes after buying it. But that's what I got. I can fit my bike in there. The negotiations were interesting for me.
The first location, they're like a college recruiter and they promise you all these fun benefits. And then you show up and they're like, listen, we don't have that stuff, but hey, why don't you hang around? And then you said no, because you, as a college athlete, you're shrewd in your negotiations. So you walked out the door, you went to a new place, and you kind of underplayed the trunk space. And this guy's like, oh, yeah, what's wrong with it? And like, it's not enough. And then he goes head over heels, bending backwards to get you this RAV4. And even then you're like, 80,000 miles, really? You think I'm that type of guy? And they're like, please, take my firstborn child.
You know, that's 95% of the negotiation process. But to elucidate the other 5%, basically what happened was we go look at the car, we test drive it. He's hyping it up the whole time. This is a great car. My girlfriend has this car. This is, you know, I'm like, okay, thanks, Tyler of Des Moines. But, you know, I hear you. I'm hearing it. It is a good car. And so then we go back. He's like, can I work with you? Here's what we're looking at. I'm like, what's the out the door price? He's like, the car is listed for, you know, $15,999 or something. The out the door price was $17,800. And I'm like, I don't know about that, man. I don't think so. So then I'm like, hey, I'm going to do a bit of research. I'm going to get back to you. I was on the call with my parents. My mom's like, just take it if they go under 17. My dad's like, nope. Be angry. Be as angry as possible. Walk out. Be rude. I'm like, I don't like either of those strategies. So, But anyways, like, I looked at the consumer reports. The price was a little lower. But I'm like, okay, they got new tires, new brakes. I go back there. My parents say, tell them 16, right? Tell them you'll take 16. So I go, 15.5. He returns to his finance manager, makes me wait a long time. I'm like, oh, shoot. It's getting close to the time where I have to talk to McLean. Oh. Can't let a car prevent you from talking to McLean.
It seems like that's a chore. Like you're told to talk to me.
No. The car is a chore. Or he comes back in. He's like, okay, 17.3. I'm like, no, $500 off. I'm like, ha, 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 ha. No. Buddy, there needs to be a 16 in front of that number, or I'm not even considering it. Like, then we're negotiating, ended up at 16.5. Do I think I could have gotten him down to closer to 16 flat? Probably. However, he was nice. I forgot my backpack in the car, and he brought me my backpack. Is that worth $500? Probably not. But also, I wasn't totally scammed, so I'm happy about that.
I was going to say, it's Tyler. He's in Iowa. He's working at the Honda dealership, you know. He needs a couple of good friends. He has a girlfriend, but maybe he needs a boy who's his friend, and that could be you after this deal.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know how many friends he has. He's a car dealer, and he's dealing used cars, too, so probably not too many friends, right?
Well, I love how you had the angel on one shoulder as your mom being like, just take the offer, and then the devil on your other shoulder, not saying that your mom or your dad is the devil, but he's just like hard-lined, be angry, be mean, be tough on them.
Honestly, my mother and my father are kind of the perfect people to go to a car dealership with, because what will happen is my mother will be like so enthusiastic. She'll be like, oh, this is so nice, I want this car so much, right? And my dad will be like silent, and then he'll ask a couple of questions about like the engine or whatever, and then they'll give him price. My dad will be like such a hard line. He'll be like, no, no, no. The salesperson will say like, we can't do business with you, and my dad will be like, all right, I'm leaving. And my mom will be like, wait, Hugh. And my dad will just book it out of the, I saw it happen at the Honda. I just have this distinct memory of him storming off and then the car salesman running after him like, wait, wait, wait.
That's a good strategy too.
It works for them. All right.
Big Sky Small World is sponsored by the Carroll College Communication Center.
Helping the Carroll and Helena communities with presentations, multimedia, and podcasting since 2020.
Find us in the library or email Director Alan Hansen at ahansen@carroll.edu.
Welcome to Backcountry Buzz, a segment where we talk about outdoor sports in and around the gorgeous state of Montana. Every week, we will talk to a new guest that loves being outside, or guests, and they will tell you about their experiences with their outdoor interests. I'm Patty.
I'm Miranda.
And we hope you enjoy. Welcome. We'll have everyone introduce themselves again, because we didn't turn on the podcast the first time. But
my bad.
But we can start with that again.
Really perfect my intro this time. I'm Jared. I was on the podcast about backcountry skiing.
And also 5 minutes ago. Yep.
I enjoy skiing. I'm getting into climbing. Do a lot more climbing recently. Mountain biking, stuff like that.
And I'm Josie. And I am getting more into climbing, into snowboarding, skiing, and hiking. I love just being outdoors.
But I mean, another good topic is definitely like memories associated with climbing as well. Like, I know you guys have been climbing a while, and like I'm sure you have your own favorite routes or trips or stuff that you really enjoyed doing. So maybe you guys want to go over some of that, like the spring break trips. Like, those were mostly climbing oriented. But yeah, Jared, if you want to start us off.
I was hoping Josie would start us off, because I can't think of one.
Start us off.
The Zion trip?
Yeah, but like a specific.
Yeah, or like a route or a day or a trip.
Yeah.
Just whatever.
You go first, please.
Well, we only really climbed like two routes when we went. Okay, so Jared and I went on the camp spring break trip last year. And it was awesome. It was super cool. Got to do some climbing in, it was a really random small canyon. Like,
it was
spot.
Called like Lamb's Knoll or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Big rock.
And that was kind of my first time climbing outside in a while.
That was my very first time climbing outside.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was Brad Maddock. He was on the pack.
Shout out.
Yeah. He asked me if I wanted to climb the route, and I didn't tell him that I'd never climbed before.
So he did. It was pretty sweet, honestly.
Oh, like you sport climbed it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was,
okay.
Wow. It was pretty hard. Like,
it was really hard.
At one
hard.
Point, I like could not continue. So he had to like pull himself up. Like, you know, like I stayed there, and he pulled himself up with the Grigri and like helped me. So.
Like repel.
Shout out Brad.
Get all the clips.
He's a cool
stuff.
Guy. Yeah. But that was memorable just because it was my first time being in that area. And also the rock is way different. Really, really grippy.
It's better than the limestone here. That
yes.
Just cuts your fingers
yes.
apart up here.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really cool. Just a really good experience with everybody that was on the trip as well.
I had a really good time. I almost forgot about this until just now, but when we climbed in Grand Tetons, I had a really good time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
You guys like that? Was that this fall break?
Miranda, yeah.
Miranda wasn't performing at her usual level.
Hey. Tell us more about that.
That was unnecessary.
We love hearing Miranda slander on the podcast. Tell us more about that.
Hey. Thanks, Jared. Yeah. I was just going to say that actually sucked. So I actually did not appreciate the Grand Teton trip.
What happened with
we had a really awesome time. We hiked up the Middle Teton, so that was pretty cool. I was like on a high from that was pretty cool. And then we decided we were gonna climb the next day because we were like, well, we're gonna be sore, so we were like, we'll take a day and climb. What was the climbing area called?
Blacktail Butte.
That's where we were. It's like kind of directly across. There's like this like road that goes like straight down the middle, I guess. And so we had like a really good view, kind of, except it was really smoky, so we should have had a good view. It kind of cleared up when we were climbing, so it was nice. But the rock was very slippery, and I was not a fan of that.
It was like literally polished
crap. It was like the slippery, like you put one toe on it and just like slide straight off. And so we spent the first like hour, first of all, like trying to figure out which routes were which, and then also finally locating like the easiest route that we possibly could find. And then of course, because that one was really easy and people had been up there, it was so polished that we just were like none of us could start it for the first like 20 minutes.
What
so that
the,
was
what was the grade no, on that
it
one?
Was
like 5.9.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. But it seriously took them to get to the first clip. Like,
after
so
the first
long.
Clip,
like,
it was okay.
Minutes, though, to get to
it
the
was
first.
Not.
How do you even like fall?
The start was like very slab, yeah. Like not big holds, and then the rest of it was like huge. Holds.
Yeah, so the rest easy. Of it was super good. It's yeah. Just like everyone had obviously been like touching it and just like grinding down the top layer, so it was just like horrendous, and I was like not in a good mood. Yeah. Yeah. I think we set up a top rope after that because we were like, no one's gonna be able to get past this, so we might want to pull one up while we can. But yeah, I really liked climbing. My favorite spot in Helena is probably Blue Cloud. There's not a ton of climbs, I wouldn't say. There's like this whole sunset wall that's like really big. You like walk, it's like a mile and a half approach. And but the view is really, really cool. It like goes up above the tree line and you can like see out, and it's really cool, especially like when the sunset happens. And there's like a really sweet camping spot like over the top if you like climb up it. But that's probably my favorite spot. And then there's another spot in like Hellgate Avalanche area.
That's cool area. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many in that spot.
All the goats too. Probably,
they have goats.
Sure. Yeah. You'd think.
Was that where we saw the goats?
Yeah,
oh my!
Oh yeah, we do. I have a photo.
Get out!
Yeah, we totally saw goats.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, for the listeners, I have seen one mountain goat in my entire mountaineering career. I go places regularly where I should see them, and they just hate me. So people like to tell me every single time. That's the first time I've been to Glacier so many times.
Oh my god!
And
are you serious?
I've never seen one, but. That was the one time.
You need to make like a call for them or something.
Dude, I've tried everything.
I don't know what they sound like.
You heard it here first. That is the goat goat calling noise.
Yeah, it's all good stories, all good stuff. It's better than I've done, like with climbing at least. Like,
yeah,
it's hard to get out.
Do you want
to
share about your climbing experience in Norway? I feel like way cooler than anything we've done. So I feel like
you're
being humble over here. But like,
it was especially Taylor, like the guy I was with, he like set up everything. It was a top rope, but it was beautiful, like looking out of the fjords there, and it was pretty cool. Great views, but it was kind of sketchy because you had to like crawl through this like short, it was like caving, it was like half caving and then half like, so you had to like get through this little area where you had to like crawl in with like the rope, and that was like probably the scariest part. But it was pretty cool, it was fun, but something like I've never like sport climbed like you guys have, so it's cool to hear those experiences. And like, yeah, but we can talk gear too.
The hardest route in the world is in Norway.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
Is it? What is it, like a V? What is it, V17?
It's
their
like
grading
five.
System's like completely different over there, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, okay. There's equivalent. I don't know. I think it's like 517.
Oh my
516. I'm not sure.
What even constitutes that? Is it just like a flat wall?
No, it's like a roof of a cave.
Oh my
god. Is it like over the water?
No.
I think I know.
It's called Silence.
Is that the one that Adam?
Yes.
Whatever. Yeah, like
Adam Andra.
He flashed it.
Shout out.
Anyway,
he like crashed out at the top. Like, seen the video, but talk about like gear and stuff, because I think people are pretty unfamiliar. You could educate me because I didn't know my shoes were like really bad until like Caleb told me one time. But
shout out,
Caleb.
He said that they weren't aggressive enough.
Weren't really tipped enough. Like, they're just like too flat or something. Yeah. I don't know anything about it. But you can go over like what your guys' favorite climbing shoes are, climbing harnesses maybe, or just recommendations for the listeners. If Miranda would stop laughing at some point.
What kind of shoes do you like, Miranda?
Shoes?
Yeah, shoes. Yeah. That's what the question is.
Shoes or harnesses or, you know, whatever.
Well, I like the La Sportiva shoes the best. I have not really tried any other shoes, so I'm not really, but I'm just going to say that confidently. I started with the La Sportiva Finale shoes, and they're like the most comfortable shoes ever. I can wear those for like an entire day and not like be in violent pain. And then I got the La Sportiva Solution Comps. That's the ones that I kind of use right now, and they're like a lot more technical for bouldering because I got a lot more into bouldering, and those are really good, but they hurt really bad. So, and like breaking them in takes like a very, very, very long time. So definitely not like a beginner shoe, but they're really good. So I recommend those.
Nice.
I got my shoes, they're La Sportivas, from a $10 bin at a Stone Tree. They were used, so
that thing's so awesome, actually.
That's a pretty good deal, yeah.
Yeah, people at the like members of the gym, they'll like have shoes and then they'll get a new pair of shoes, and then they're usually their shoes aren't like completely blown out, so they'll like just put them in this bin and then people can buy them, and they're like really solid shoes, especially like if you don't want to spend, they're like at least $100 usually for shoes.
Gosh.
Like beginner shoes are like $80, but that's still like a lot of money, especially if you're like not sure if you really like climbing yet. Like it's a good,
quite steep,
good deal.
To be fair,
yeah, mine are like a full size too small. Like they're already small, they're a little bit uncomfy. I couldn't tell you what they actually are besides La Sportiva, but...
Are they like the... Because I don't know the difference. What's the difference between pretty, like the hooked and like the... Just like the more flat, like...
They're pretty aggressive.
Yeah, they're decently. They're not... Yeah, they're probably in between.
Is aggressive? Aggressive is when like it's like...
We're
the
more
toes
pointed,
hooked.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Less comfortable. More performance, theoretically.
Yeah.
That's a good way to describe it.
I wear the same shoes as Miranda. I wear La Sportiva Finale. I got them on ProLink. So.
Ooh, nice.
They are, so I wear like, usually I would wear like a size 47 and a half, and I got them in 44. So they're really tight. So I have to like tape parts of my feet so that, because they like press on certain parts so hard that they like would like start bleeding. So
they're also not super broken in yet.
Yeah, though. They're not.
Yeah.
I've had them for a few months, but yeah. Still breaking them in.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I really like them.
Your size is too small.
Yeah, you really want them to be like small, but not like too small. I think like beginners often get like the rental shoes and they like are really surprised how much of a difference it makes when they get their own shoes, because like it really, really does make a difference. And a lot of the time, like getting shoes that are tight enough is like the biggest thing. Like when I do kids' birthday parties at Stone Tree, okay, I ask them what size shoes they are, and then they tell me their size. They're like, I'm a one. I'm like, okay. And then I give them a two, and usually the twos are like, those are too tight, because they're used to like just their shoes, and they like complain a lot.
Kids,
but kids ruin everything. But they're really supposed to be a lot tighter, and like you can be a lot more technical if you have shoes that actually fit.
Yeah, you can get on those like small little ones and not slip.
Yeah,
the bane of my existence. I don't know how you do it, Jared, with like the you probably significantly bigger feet than I do. But I don't know how to step on those. Yeah.
How about the shoes, I guess?
Just one pair of $200 climbing shoes away from being a good climber. People tell me.
That's the idea, yeah.
So, a good thing to talk about is how you get into outdoor, like the certain outdoor sports we talk about. So, if we just go around and maybe tell the first time you climbed or how you got into it, or...
So, the first time I climbed was last year, my junior year of college. Shortly after, or was it before? It doesn't matter. Josie and I started dating. Don't remember if it was before or after. I'd never climbed before. So she wanted to take me climbing on a cute little date. And we went to the rock wall at the hack. And I was terrible. And my knee like hurt that day. And I was really bad compared to her. And that made me feel like a little guy. So I did not like
guy.
It. Yeah.
No, he hated it.
I didn't
yeah.
like it.
That was like the thing, is I was like, oh, what do you think about doing that? And he was all like angry about it.
It's the worst thing. I'm never doing it. He doesn't know.
Yeah,
do
but
that.
Rest. So anyway, and then I would go off by myself in the early hours in practice.
Wake up at 4 a.m.
Until I got better than Josie.
Yeah.
Is that the main driver for you?
That originally it was.
What about now? What do you climb for now?
I just want to get better. I want to higher grade and stuff. Have fun.
Yeah. Anything to add on to that story, Josie? That's a good story. That's a really good story, though. It's like, it's cool how... It happens where you just get into random stuff. And
well, I had a great time. Miranda was there. Like, I just thought that everything was going well. And then I was like, man, Jared kind of seems upset.
Oh,
whatever.
I
like,
was there. Dude, now that you say that, I totally remember this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But,
Jared,
no,
Jared didn't get very far up the wall. He looked like he was going to cry. Did I remember?
There.
I remember this.
You have to expose me like that.
Sorry.
My first time.
My bad.
Yeah, but that was good. Honestly, I think that was one of the first times that I'd tried out the wall at Carroll. But I grew up climbing. My parents had my siblings and I do lessons with climbing. And when I was 13 to 16, had a really good group of friends that we would go climbing, and kind of my outdoorsy group of friends. We would go surfing and climbing, and it was always indoor bouldering.
Did you ever go to Smith Rock? at that age? Or?
We went to Smith Rock just not to climb. Not to climb. But my other friends totally did. Yeah, it's Smith Rock is awesome. But
Jesse lives close to Smith Rock.
I do. I'm from Bend.
For summer, we're gonna go and we're gonna successfully get Jose to climb.
No, well, Jared and I. Okay, it's a little side. Sorry.
Well, yeah, this is a fun story.
This is a good. This is a good story. I think you should tell it too.
Throw it down. Go ahead. You want me to?
Yeah, have Jared tell it.
Okay, so at the end of the year and during the summer, the beginning of the summer, after we had like both been climbing together for a while and we both sort of knew we wanted to, you know, pursue that as a hobby, I bought a rope used online, but it, like, I did not know anything about ropes.
35 meter rope?
Yeah. It was like a climbing rope. I mean, you probably know better. Like 60, 70 meters is like normal.
Yeah.
Or an outdoor rope.
Yeah, yeah.
The one I got was like maybe 20. So, and I didn't know that, like, you know, I wasn't sitting there like measuring it when I got it. So when we went out with it, we were doing like the beginner routes at Smith Rock. And I was like leading a route and I got to the top and there was like an inch of rope left on the other side of the gateway or something.
So, well, when he was going up, we're like, man, this doesn't really feel like normal. Like, I was looking down at my feet, like, yeah, okay, it's probably fine. And he's like climbing. He gets to the top. He's like, okay, I'm almost done. And I look down, and I'm like, oh no. And it's just like still feeding. And it's like, it literally was a couple of inches. Like, okay, cool. I don't think you could come down though. Like, how do we do this?
Oh my god!
Does it have a stopper knot in at least, or like
no.
Dude? We were no, it did.
It's like maybe. In free soul.
No, it had a stopper knot. It had a stopper knot, but it was like kind of a thing of like I think I had to untie it. Well, no,
oh my
what
god.
Happened?
It was such an easy route. I think I just
was like
either down
climbed
or like topped out.
Yeah, no,
there was a trail up the backside.
I was gonna say there was like. You could get up to the back of the thing, but if it was any other situation, it could have been really bad.
Oh my god,
a real route, it would have been bad.
Yeah, but in this case, it was just more like, okay, yeah, I guess we're not climbing today then, because that was one of the shorter routes that that were there. So
I would have pooped my pants. I can't even imagine. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so if you're looking to buy a rope, I would recommend
something
like
long.
At least 70 millimeters, because that's kind of a universal, like,
does that
I
matter?
Meant meters,
yeah,
not millimeters. One time I went climbing over last summer, and I was working in Idaho, and I took the weekend off from the summer camp that I work at to come climb at Maiden Rock, which is like north of Dillon, a tiny like 20 minutes maybe. It was really cool, like that we went a couple times. The rock is like really good. The first time we went, we found this spot and we like hiked up really 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 far and we're like, oh, this is so sick. But then we walked down a completely different way and saw every single sport route the entire back way that we had just completely missed because we walked up like the complete wrong way, just like straight up. And we went camping. And there's a very long story, but the police came and raided
my
the campsite and like the, I don't know, someone was like shooting their gun like out of the side of their truck that was like right by our campsite. So we like had all of our climbing gear and there was this other like rich people from Bozeman and they had their huge like car tent setup thing. Anyways,
no,
I'm not going to tell the entire long-winded story.
Unresolved
but
trauma with Bozeman people.
What do you have against them being rich, dude? That's crazy.
The moral of the story is, it's not the moral, but the point is, like, Randall was the number one suspect in a shooting. Dude,
yeah, that is the story. Rudely woken up by the Silver Bow County Sheriff's Department out of my car.
You're on the... The FBI's top 10.
Dude, I was. And they like wouldn't. My friend's mom was like pissed and she like called them and was like, what'd you do to my baby boy? Like, what the heck? And they wouldn't like give her the footage for like, they were like,
a body cam?
Yeah, they were like, it was a whole ordeal. So I recommend climbing there, but maybe just
don't be next to a. guy firing his gun.
Yeah.
Backcountry Buzz turned into a social justice.
Hosted by convicted felons.
Real experiences with felons. But yeah, no, this is a good time. Guys, yeah, thanks for coming in. It was great to talk to you all and give us some insight about climbing. And
thank you for listening to Backcountry Buzz on the Big Sky Small World podcast. And we'll see you next week. You got an outro song, Jose?
John Cena.
Thank you for tuning in to Big Sky Small World. The music is by Alex Coulter. Please follow and leave comments on Instagram at bigsky.smallworld. Tune in next week.
Everyone introduce themselves.
Can you take me higher?
Me up inside.